Thank you for tuning in to Street Fight Radio. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quimby. Every single week, three times a week, we're giving you top quality content to listen to. And each week is something that at this point has been mostly guest shows, but we hope to expand into other things. I have some good ideas for some music shows or
science fiction serials.
Sure, you never know what it could be. Anything in the world. But since it is the sacred holiday of 420, we wanted to put out a show that celebrates the history of Street Fight. And, you know, we've had Stefan BC on our show for the last few 420s to do shows just to talk about weed and what's going on in the industry and how California law specifically is changing, because that is kind of a bellwether for the rest of the nation. So for those of you, Stefan Borth Consuelo, the canna barrister out of Long Beach, California, and he was formerly, I don't know, are you still on Twitter?
No, I'm taking what was going to be an extended break, but honestly, like, the second I did, I signed a bunch of contracts and just been really happy recently, and it's not, so I'm like, I'm going to take this as a sign that maybe take a permanent retirement.
Go with it. I'm not on there either. I don't spend any time on there except for responding to people that reply to me, so.
Yeah.
All right, where can we send people? Is there any online place that we can send people that want to find out more about you?
Just find me on Facebook. I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm just accepting all that. That's been my main deposit for, I think troll retirement. It's like me and Brooklyn Juggler are just kind of everyone passive aggressively posting there every once in a while.
Yeah. Brooklyn Juggler's back though. He is.
Oh, he's back.
We got to be quiet about who he is, because I don't think he's an outlaw. He's an outlaw Twitter account.
No, don't tell him. Seriously, Scotty.
He's an undocumented.
Yeah, Scotty, if you even, or any of the old people, Kyle's the only person who gets suspended for Twitter for just being too good at it. Like, he never did anything wrong that was worthy of being suspended. He just...
He burned people too bad.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
He's a monster.
He ran a burn unit.
But we're here for weed, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, I think the first thing we're going to start this show with is, what are you on, man? What are you on? What are you on? But we'll start with Brett here. What are you on?
LA Confidential.
And what are you doing?
Nice crystallization. Vaporizing it, smoking it, and eating it.
Jeez. Okay, Stefan, what are you up to, man?
I am on it's Mermaid Song. It was it's client weed, and it's
that sounds like the best weed, man.
It's, you know what? It's very nice, and the wonderful state of California has not passed rules, unlike some states, prevent the Bar Association, that is, from us receiving marijuana from our clients. So I'm very happy about that, and I'm smoking out of a bowl from a glass blower in Long Beach, Goosefire, who I didn't know was famous, but
okay,
that's a thing.
Yeah, I'm doing whatever Brett sold me in a pack. That's all I'm doing. I didn't eat it or anything.
It's LA Confidential. It's that Cali love, I think, we've got going on.
Oh, so somebody's exporting to you guys.
It's probably from Michigan. The most of the weed that gets here now, the good weed that gets here now, is from Michigan.
Yeah, it makes sense, because it doesn't travel well cross country unless it's packed in a very specific way. And we're actually talking about that in California. The Teamsters Union lost out really big a couple weeks ago when the governor came out with a new trailer bill that said that the distribution layer is going to go. And so now the Teamsters were going to be driving trucks all across California, full of bricks trucks, or, you know, bricks level trucks all across California. They're like, well, they're wondering if they're going to get cut out of it entirely. But it is, like, transporting it, good stuff is really difficult.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. And even traveling, you can't do, like, cross-country trucking with weed, like, because you're never allowed to cross any borders with it.
Yeah, we're talking here about, like, the big thing for us in the next couple of years, if we're lucky. Basically, if Trump really wants to go full populist, or if he just gets destroyed in the midterms, you know, the hope is that maybe one day we'll be able to transport between the different legal states, because some of them are pretty contiguous. I mean, it's really silly that you can't put, we can't legally bring Nevada concentrates, which are pretty good, over into California, or, you know, Oregon has pretty good flour too. It's all that we can't legally taste in California. And of course, nobody can taste our stuff legally. So it's dumb.
That is so stupid. That infuriates me. I mean, also because, like, I always hear what you guys are doing in these legal states, and I just, like, I'm salivating at the chance to get concentrates and gummy bears and suckers and Chinese food. You get Chinese food sometimes, don't you?
It's nuts. I mean, what we're suffering from is what that's all a result of is a glut of product. You know, like these are, so you talk to your average grower in the Emerald Triangle, and they all are like, well, the good days for us is when this shit was super illegal and we were able to send it everywhere for $6,000 a pound. And now even in California is still very firmly ensconced in the gray market. But, you know, we're lucky now for a grower to get wholesale $1,500. And with legalization, even with taxes, you know, you're talking only about $500. Luckily, it's going to be dropping to, you know, within a couple of years. So, you know, we were forced as a result, you know, a lot of the growers started getting into manufacturing and making concentrates, really just as at first just using, you know, the crap that was left on the ground after trimming. But after a while, it's gotten into a whole, you know, concentrates has become, and manufacturing has become this whole thing where now there's this demand for whole bud, live resin, or, you know, pressing and everything else. And so we're putting it into goddamn everything. But every once in a while, though, you know, we find out something new and crazy. Like, you know, I have a client who puts it into, who has a pet product. And he's treating dogs with this stuff and actually, you know, starting to like collect data on it just because he's like, I might be on the verge of some like major scientific finding here.
I left a weed edible on a table and this dog snatched it up. This real old dog, like 14-year-old dog. And that fucking thing ran around like a puppy for the end of the night and then got like the best 11 hours of sleep ever. Like that thing was transported to better times.
Yeah. Dogs love weed, man. I've seen so many dogs stoned in my life.
Ours, we have an old broken hound dog, and that guy, if you shook a bottle anywhere in the house, he would think it was a tramadol, which is like doggy opiates, and that was pretty sad. So now we're treating him with when he's really bad and has a broken back. When that's really acting up, we give him a little bit of our client stuff, and it's really been working well.
Yeah, dog treats with weed. I'd eat the dog treats.
Yeah, I would eat the treats too.
I'd even get into those, really. Ooh, what do those do? What's that kind of dosage there? What are they giving to dogs?
Someone's going to do Scooby Snack and get sued out to the oblivion by Hanna-Barbera.
Well, fuck IP. Fuck IP. Hashtag fuck IP.
That's what's been beautiful about, like, I mean, at least from what we would see from California – or even Denver now, is that they do fuck with IP a lot. Like, they'll make Reese's cups, but, like, call them, like, Hayes's cups or something.
Yeah, there's a back font. There's a reason for that. It's because weed technically has no IP protection because, again, that's federal law. So anything involving federal law, just, like, you know, whether or not it's banking or interstate commerce or intellectual property, has no legal protection. So that doesn't mean now, obviously, somebody doing weedos, they get, you know, they get a nasty letter from Kraft being like, we will destroy you. And they generally, when the lawyer gets that, you know, like we're used in California, we do this whole thing about mitigated risk because we can't fully protect you. We just basically, we tell people like, look, we can help you. If we do your corporate structure, essentially, in this particular manner, we can help protect you from felonies in the most part. But... you know, and after a while, if someone's doing well enough at the weed game, you know, it's a game of economics. They can fuck with the police as much as they want with expert witnesses and basically delay it out. But going up against a real corporation, you're going to lose. So the intellectual property stuff, though, is really funny. Do you guys know Baron Von Savings?
Yes.
Yeah.
Twitter?
Fantastic account.
Yeah. One of my favorites. So I get this job last year – 2016 was when I first started, when I jumped from like JV weed law into, you know, hanging out with people who are with the lawyers who are making things like really happen. And I got this job in downtown LA with a lawyer who shall not, I won't name, but a very, very serious gentleman, and scared the shit out of me. You know, like, I'm showed up to this job second day. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, Molly. This is pretty intense. And I noticed on his coffee table, he has this newspaper with him holding up this big trademark for the House of Dank. And I'm like, how in the hell did you get a trademark? You know, that's supposed to be pretty impossible. And he says, oh, you know, it's a client, and we made this little symbol. And, you know, he worked with a bunch of IP attorneys to do all these workarounds. And sure enough, you know, we got it on this very narrow exception. And I'm like, that's really cool. And the other, and then, not, I swear to God, not like 3 hours later, I'm fucking around on Twitter, and Baron Von Savings posted this picture of of his latest haul from the dispensaries. He lives in Detroit, and Michigan is like where California was in 2008. Just no fucking laws. You know, wonderful.
We're about to head there. Yeah, we have a there's a cannabis carnival happening, and there's going to be a doctor writing prescriptions for people on site, like anybody.
Okay. So you're going to have that stage of like weed law progression. I'll get into that just in a second. Don't let me get distracted, Prev, because that's really interesting. But when he posts this picture, and he's like, hey, I just got this, you know, my favorite haul from the House of Dank. And I'm like, whoa. And I look at the picture, and sure enough, it's the same little stupid house with the puff with the puffs of smoke coming out and big 70s letters that say House of Dank. And I don't want to rat out my buddy, but I kind of told my boss at the time, I'm like, and I showed it to him, and he's like, son of a bitch. And there's not much you can do about it. You know, it's like, well, who are you going to sue? You're going to, because of the way that where California, and I'll get to where the kind of progression of that, where California and Michigan, where Michigan was at that time, and where California was maybe in 2009, and where you guys are about to be, is kind of like the anarchy stage of weed legalization. And what it is with that the federal government is so afraid, or that the local governments are so afraid of saying that we're regulating this. Because if we regulate it, it's seen that you're actually giving credence to it, and that if you're accepting taxes from it, you're even party to the conspiracy, arguably, at least according to the feds. Even though from the local perception, it's like, no, we're making a spending priority to at using our legislative discretion to say we don't want to you know, exert money on a failed war, even if you guys want to continue it.
So right, so like when they put their hands on it, they feel like they're doing dirt, and so
yeah.
People are taking advantage. People are just going ahead and saying, well, fine, I'm going to conduct myself within the letter of the law, which has not even really been set yet. You know, it's similar. DC is getting by on the buy a T-shirt and get a free eighth of weed with it system, yeah. Or the buy a plastic bag and it might be filled with some weed, you know.
And that's honestly, like, there's something beautiful to that. Maine, when I was up in Maine last year, right, as they were fine, they had a kind of quasi-medical system for a while where you would sign up with your caregiver, you know, and your caregiver was essentially your grower / dealer / everything. And it wasn't very restrictive, but at the same time, it, you know, the people took it seriously, and, you know, if you were a good caregiver, you'd get a lot of customers, and if you were a bad one, you would not do as well. But what was cool about it is, it's, you know, in Maine, the average caregiver was only getting, like, 50 to 60 grand a year, which California numbers, I mean, that's pathetic. I mean, your average shitty dispensary, shitty illegal dispensary operating without weed maps or anybody knowing about or without any, you know, just existing without, you know, any license will take in about $1 million a year. But that's 60 grand for a Maine resident. I mean, that puts them solidly in the middle class. So they were –
Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to make $1 million when we start the Ohio House of Dank.
You guys are going to somehow fuck it up. I just don't – there's a problem with Republican governors, and it's Chris Christie and Charlie – and then what's that fucking asshole's name in
Charlie Crist in Florida?
No.
He's a bastard too.
Massachusetts has a bad governor now, a Republican there. And then they have a
shoot. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those guys always mess up those programs. They can't not just leave it alone.
Yeah, I think they're going to make Leafs, like, we're not going to be able to buy flowers here at all, I'm pretty sure. Or, like, you're only allowed to vape. Is like, that's no smoking it is still illegal for some reason.
Yeah,
so then you
got Hound Dog Face Kasich.
Take advantage of that, if I was there, and then what you do from there is you start, you get on-site consumption. Because that's what we have, San Francisco has that now, where you can vape and use a PAX inside some dispensaries that because they have really, and as long as you do that, then you're fine. And it's beautiful. You sit there with a little tea, and you get a big, it was the first time I ever used a volcano. You know, I just sat there.
Oh, those are dope.
That's like a hookah bar. That sounds like the best place in the world for me. Just a little weed hangout. You still can't. I don't think you can really even do that in Denver, right? Like, there's not like a place where you can just go do weed instead of drink. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, there is a bar for drinking.
Yeah, and that's what the argument is. Is that, like, look, you know, with the problem with in Denver, they legalized. You know, like you said, they legalized all these dispensaries, and then, you know, they had weed tourism, and Denver got a lot of money from conferences and people just being like, well, shit, you know, I'm a baby boomer and I haven't smoked weed in a couple of decades. I'm going to go to Denver. That sounds nice. And what they found out is that, like, the hotel said, oh, you can't smoke here and you can't smoke at a bar, and tourists and, you know, don't want to fuck around and light a joint and hope that the cops don't fuck with them. So they just would do the stupidest thing in the world and take all the edibles.
Yeah.
And then we got blamed for that shit too. It's like, well, I'm sorry if you didn't read the label. And they were clearly labeled beforehand, you know.
Yeah. Adults, you shouldn't be allowed to just go right into edibles, because that is, because a lot of square people around here are getting their hands on the gummies and just having spirit journeys, you know what I mean? Like, taking way too many of them. And it's like, edibles is such a weird, different thing. You can't just jump right in with edibles.
Every elected official who I try to convince, and that's my job now, like, half of my job is criminal defense, half is, you know, like, well, actually, like, a third criminal defense, a third business stuff, and, like, a third lobbying. And the lobbying is what I love most, because that's when I just go to politicians to talk about weed and get paid for it. But every one of them has a shitty edible story, where it's like, well, you know, I want to support you, but I went to Jamaica, and I ate a brownie, and then I was sitting there in the fetal position, and my wife was talking the whole time. It's like, well, I'm sorry, you know, Mayor, but that's not my fault.
You didn't do any research. You were just like, oh, it tastes like chocolate. This is going to be good for me. God, man, yeah, the edibles is it's been such a revelation to these people, but really vaping is the way that you can control it the best.
Whoopi Goldberg had a really good quote about that. She said, she called it, she said, I take little sips from this all day long. And I was like, when I read that, I'm like, oh, shit, that's like an insulin pump, you know. And people who have a lot of anxiety, man, it's so much better to microdose your drugs than to.
True.
Yeah.
Just get obliterated. Yeah. Instead of getting so obliterated that you can't focus on things that make you anxious, you just, like, quell them as it pops up. It's like playing the groundhog game all day long.
I am curious about the little bits of acid, because every time I've taken acid and it didn't work all that well, I was mad about it. But if I knew I was right. Going into it.
Well, maybe if you had a live show to do a grand slam on or something, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you had something to do.
Yeah, just a teeny tiny little bit of acid. When they talk about microdosing LSD, I'm always like, what? I mean, what is that? That's what I'm really interested in.
You know, people are doing it and, like, going to offices, though, aren't they? Yeah,
that's what I'm
saying. Yeah, it's a new Bay Area thing. They apparently, it's a microdose psilocybin and go to work, which sounds like the lamest shit in the world.
I don't know, man. I do not know. I think if I was allowed to go to work on shrooms and let everybody know I was on shrooms,
yeah,
I would probably excel at work.
You would have your own elevator music playing in the background while you're working. Like, you would just be chilling with no care in the world.
Yeah,
it does make sense. I wish they would just let us do it openly.
I experimented with mushrooms recently when I, you know, had a. Had an opportunity to do so, which is rare, and it had no effect. it was just like, I got done with it. I'm like, my stomach hurts, and I wish I just had a strong edible instead, because that would have been more fun.
Wow. You got some bunk ones.
Bunk shrooms, man. That's sad.
Yeah, they should scare you at some point.
How much did you take?
Like, two doses from the guy that told me, but honestly,
you got to eat an eighth of them things.
Dude, that shit was so nothing. Fuck it. It was so gross. I immediately tasted the cow shit, and I was like, I don't want anything to do with this.
Peanut butter sandwich or pizza?
Yeah.
God. Yeah, I could see pizza. Yeah, we did the...
Incredible. Have you done LSD?
No.
I guess you're not allowed to do LSD. Man, LSD is... I mean, I'm afraid of it. It's like a dragon to me that I'm going to have to slay sometime in my life. I actually have access to it.
We have it. Well, we have it right now. LSD. We can reach some right now.
In the studio, there is LSD, but I'm like, I got to get financially secure to where I'm not going to like just flip out about money for 8 hours.
That would stink to spend 10 hours just writing up like a business plan and figuring out like how you could save yourself financially.
Yeah.
I did try ecstasy recently, and it was funny because I got done with it and loved it. And then when I was done with it, I woke up the next morning and I felt like myself for the first time in 4 years.
Really?
And I was like instantly snapped out of like the last, because I left a job not voluntarily. And when I was working for an elected official, and then basically what I thought was going to be my dream job, lost it and was just not in a good place for a long time. And then I tried the ecstasy like a couple months ago. And honestly, I woke up the next morning, had a joint and a coffee, and I'm like, I feel great. I just want to do work now.
Yeah, well, so ecstasy for me, I usually did feel – I had Suicide Mondays a lot where I just felt like I was drained of everything. I didn't want to wake up.
You were doing garbage though, right?
Yeah, like you did, sure.
You weren't doing like that Heisenberg Molly, know what I mean?
I don't know. I can't say exactly.
This was European.
Yeah, I can't say exactly what I was doing, but – That's the same for mushrooms and acid and almost psychedelics, I think, for at least for a good 2 to 4 weeks afterwards, because we just did shrooms in December, and for like a month afterwards, I just felt like this is something that I just need to stop thinking about. It's just a chance that I have to do something, and it was like this really calming effect where I didn't have to worry about much anymore. Like, I think... Like that, when you disassociate yourself from reality, it just resets a lot of the bad habits you found yourself in. My wife is always like, I think we should do shrooms every single season, like 4 times a year, just like some church shit to make sure that all the cobwebs in our brain get all, you know, shooken out.
Well, we did them together. Brett and I and our wives did shrooms together when it right around my birthday. And my wife, we went to when the marches were going on,
the first Trump
immigration, first big Trump, not my president march is what we went to. And it was one of the more, it was very well attended for
people. Columbus. Got gassed. I think that was the one where they threw tear gas on everybody later. Yeah. Like you'll be, yeah.
But my wife cried a couple weeks after, and she was just like, you know what, man, I just feel like protest was so beautiful, and like she cried at all the protests she went to after.
She said that. The shrooms knocked something loose.
Yeah,
she said she's just more free with the emotion now. Like, fuck it, I don't care. I'm feeling overwhelmed right now. I'm about to be overwhelmed by emotion. I'm not gonna feel shameful at all about this shit. I've been powered by mushrooms. I'm Mario'd up right now.
But it was so much. It was so much damn fun. It's really fun to like it was a real perfect situation. It was us with our wives, so like everybody in the room were like really got along. It was a really goddamn good time. You have to be in a good situation for these things to work too, I think.
Well, and that's why I think drug use is, again, what I like framing it as, especially when I go to these offices, is that it is an adult activity. And American society in general does not know how to balance adult activities in a democratic society. It's really weird. Like, you think about the progression that we have as a country. We just allowed porn to exist and become available in a mainstream way in our lifetime. So being able to tell them, like, no, adults need a place. Adults who are capable of doing this in a responsible manner need a safe place and a safe access to do these drugs because it's what they need to do. It's what poor people, frankly, need to be able to do for vacations to be able to continue doing mindless, shitty jobs. Give them a weekend, you know, a 3-day, doesn't even need to be a 3-day weekend. You just give them a Saturday night where they can go to a place and get out of their minds, and the rest, they will be fine for the rest of the year. You know?
I mean, also, I mean, rich dudes named Blake also usually want to do it too. I mean, it's not just for poor folks.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's doing drugs, right?
Yeah. I mean, there is just a certain group of people that are undeniably going to do this stuff. And there is a really a grown way to do them without any sort of ill effects. I mean, I feel pretty advanced with them at this point. At my age, I've been doing them for so long now. I feel pretty comfortable helping other people do them and shit. Like, I would love to be in charge of doing some shroom journeys for people.
I still need to go to this organization, MAPS. It's the organization, I think, of like scientists who were into psychedelics. And, they're all about the idea of trying to introduce into legitimate psychology the use of, you know, what we would just classify as harder drugs. But, you know,
and I can tell you, say to this, my experience with ecstasy taught me that it taught me how to feel happy again. And when you're not, and when you've experienced a traumatic event or you've just been in a long period of depression, it's hard to feel that way again. And
Dude, your dog's pain is loud.
I'm really sorry.
I'm thinking the same thing. Sorry.
Domino.
Domino. Sorry. Sorry, dog. We're the worst.
No, I actually, I was listening.
It's like the BBC video in here right now between my kid and the dogs.
Get! Yeah, I actually heard about MAPS recently on the Oh Yeah Dude podcast. They were looking it up, and they're doing research on people that have like bipolar disorder and trying to introduce MDMA. And psilocybin and all that good stuff. So I mean, we're on the horizon. If they would let people experiment, once again, they would find some amazing things. I mean, all the weed experimentation is still pretty unbelievable. I still watch videos. Like, I don't know. I guess because when I do weed, I still have like a whole shit. There must be a shitload of shame built up, or I don't know. I feel like such a dirtbag for doing it. But then I see these videos of people that are like, you know, have like seizures and. You know, seizures like several times an hour and then just clear out, and people that are like in unspeakable pain that all of a sudden are able to operate like normal again. And it really blows me away that anyone would be against this going on. I don't know how you're able to talk to those slick politicians like that, because those people seem so out of touch if they aren't. I mean, this is on my Facebook. I'm not watching this stuff. This isn't like a niche audience. I'm not like into drug research or anything. There's just all kinds of people sharing videos of the capabilities of these substances.
I've had sheriffs bring up those videos in meetings, you know, so they're getting out there. That stuff is doing more that the Facebook and the 30-second, you know, what is we do, you know, weed helping or Charlotte Webb's video, I think is the one they're talking about. That's been such good propaganda for us in terms of trying to break down, in terms of trying to just, you know, reach a mass audience. And you just have to see it. You know, the entire reason this movement exists is because of HIV/AIDS. And it was a largely kind of closeted endeavor where people were saying, no, we need a place to be able to have access and go to pick up our medicine and then, you know, use it in a private area so that, you know, we can basically help you die in dignity. And now it's reversed. You know, we have this thing where it's like part of the kind of activism behind weed is that you have to do this weird thing where you almost die. You self-declare all your medical problems to your community. So you have people like today, I was at a board of supervisors meeting, and you had like three or four people go up there and say, well, I'm a recovering alcoholic. You know, the gateway theory is bullshit, and I can prove it because here are all the prescriptions I'm off of, and I'm just smoking this or eating this.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know how many times I have to say it, but I think a lot more because I don't think regular folks know that, you know, opioid deaths and some of these overdoses really markedly when legalized marijuana, it makes a difference. You know, the abstinence and that like sobriety only type thinking doesn't work for the populace. Keep forcing that dogma onto people because we have the answer right there in front of us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I've seen people having seizures a lot. Get a ton out of weed too. I mean, I think it's cool because it makes me feel good at the end of the day.
Really. Right.
Everybody needs that.
Well, and I've been getting a lot from. I get a lot from actually. I've been watching that Viceland show, man. They always got something about weed on there, and they had me in the middle of the day. I'm trying to make macaroni and cheese and do laundry and run Street Fight, and they're talking to vets, and they're trying to introduce this guy that's become like a hermit and a shut in for like the last 9 years after the war, after he left the war, and they're trying to get him to try weed to like free up his anxiety and everything, and it was like so fucking emotional. But like there are. It's just unacceptable that the people at the top get to put on their blinders. They just don't have to acknowledge what's going on. And I don't think that this conservative attitude or dragging our feet about it is helping anybody. I think more people are dying the more that we move this prohibition type attitude, you know?
Yeah. When I had the big thing now is that they want to blame edibles for, the police and the people opposing us right now are all the same talking points. And one of the things they like to say is, well, there have been some deaths attributed to edibles. And it's this really vague, not entirely disprovable talking point that nothing less has become like a gospel among these people. And I'm like, fuck you guys. There are companies out here who are pumping out opioids at ridiculous levels at high margins, conscientious that it's killing people, you know, and they don't even get fined by the FTC. You know, they're allowed to do it with a license and with stock prices. It's nuts.
Yeah, they're really holding back on them here now. There's a concerted effort. I was in pretty bad pain a couple months ago from a toothache, and they gave me 6 Vicodin and said take 1 every 6 hours. And I'm like, well, that's not enough, and you know it. You know what I mean? It's like it's one of those things where like then they tighten up, so there are people with legitimate pain that need them that are being treated like criminals, and doctors are afraid to prescribe them. It's like this drug war's got to end. Like there's nothing good about it. Not a single fucking thing that's good about it.
Well, they also always manage to do the wrong thing. So, okay, so take one thing that I'm always interested in, that really I nerded out about in law school was really bad decisions by politicians, because you never see – the problem with our legal system is that it's lawyers who are, you know, by and far, you know, reasonably intelligent people trying to interpret laws made by really stupid people. And a politician will look at, oh, we have a pill problem. You know, there's all these people taking opioids. Where are they getting them from? And they'll ask the police officer, and the police officer will say, well, there's these places, these pill mills, where, you know, they just roll out prescriptions all the time, and they're taking care of those people and feeding their habits. And it's like, well, you know, and the politician goes, well, let's shut those all down. Well, it's like, okay, well, now you shut down the pill mill. Now those people, and you gave no support to the people who depended on it. Now they're going to, what are they going to do? They're going to go to heroin. So the pill mill was actually serving a legitimate purpose. And if people were if you did a little bit of help, if you say work with the pill mill perhaps to, you know, maybe start voluntarily with people reducing the milligrams that they're taking each day of the opioids, you'd actually get people off. But yeah, they don't want to do that shit.
I mean, yeah. some real, like real counseling and just really. I mean, like, you don't even have to – I don't think you even have to tell them they're going to get down to zero at any point. You know, you're just like, let's just keep moving forward here. Hey, don't feel bad about it. We're just going to keep moving forward. And I think that's how you get people off of them. A friend of ours just lost somebody last week. Again, it's like it comes about every 3 weeks now. It's intense. Look
at where it's happening too. It's not just its access to opioids. It's places where it's economic. It's a lot of economic depression, and it's a lot of it's people without a lot of hope. And
weed is illegal too.
Weed is illegal.
Weed is illegal. Yeah, because that's the other alternative. Like when I thought about being a social worker, there was a part of me that was like, nah. When I decided not to, it was because it was like, man, my hands would be tight. Cause if a guy came in to me and started saying, you know, if I could just smoke weed, I would feel better. I'd be like, then do it. man. Go smoke weed. But you can't do things like that when you work for the state.
You get every once in a while you hear the story of the cool doctor, and you know somebody incredibly close to me, and I won't betray their confidence on this, had a panic attack after they decided to quit booze. And so they went to the doctor, and the doctor's like, okay, so you're having a panic attack. What drugs are you taking? And they listed, you know, booze, but I'm about to quit that, pills, and smoke weed. And the doctor said, look, here's the order of the things that you need to quit. Pills, booze, pills, and then, you know, if you ever want to, the weed. And it wasn't even her permanent doctor. It was just a guy who happened to be serving on staff that day. And that person probably saved their life, you know, just by giving that particular advice. And it's, I think a lot of it does have to do with shame of saying like, no, you are allowed to have pleasure. It's just, you know, you're dealing with a lot right now and you can't have all this shit going on all at once. You need to, you know, pick the one that's damaging you the least probably.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I don't know where I would be right now if I hadn't just made peace with the fact that I like that weed just works for me. Like if I want to use something every day, then weed is probably the best case scenario here. You know, even times where I don't like, I usually smoke every day and I kind of don't even think I enjoy it sometimes, but I'm just like, you know what, man? It's better than not, I guess. It's better than pills or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have shame about anything that I choose to do now. Like, and I think, but I think I'm like very rare, or somebody like you or somebody like Brett who can accept that I'm just a person that does this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I'm not
unapologetic. You have to be unapologetic about it, or not. I mean,
you don't have to apologize. Right. That's the thing. When you say be unapologetic, you need to, you shouldn't feel bad when you're smoking weed. You know what I mean? Who gives a shit? It doesn't affect your day. You don't lose anything out of the day when you do it. When you wake up and have coffee and a joint, I mean, you still do the same day. You know, you don't just lay around and watch TV and eat donuts like they say you do. You know?
I've been the most productive as an attorney I ever have been this year, and it's basically because I really buckled down towards the end of last year always going to my office. And I share office space. If you want to check out a really great Instagram, the Pop Brothers at Law, they're amazing. Yeah, so these guys basically are Instagram star lawyers, and they took me under their wing and gave me an office. I work there I do appearances for them, and you know, they trade me office space for that. And we don't have a coffee machine in the office. You know, these guys are really, really good attorneys, secretly. You know, they you know, if you went in there, you'd think there's like if you went into their office, you wouldn't, from the looks of it, it's, you know, it's a lot. They do not shrink away from the culture at all. You know, so there's a dab rig in the office and everything like that. But these guys are just as productive as any of the LA, downtown LA lawyer that I was with or anything else. I mean, they get the job done. You know, it's just that we take a smoke break in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't smoke a lot when I was in college, when I was working, but, I like want, when I do things now for the podcast, I'm high. I don't mind writing when I'm high, when I do things for the podcast,
but you're creative.
I see it as a leisure. I see it as a leisure activity, you know, like I usually don't smoke. I don't usually vape until like 8 o'clock. Like that's about the time that I like to PM at the end of the day. And it's weird because I do a radio show about how I get high. Like I can do it anytime I want to. There's nothing preventing me, but it was from my time working as a cable guy where it was like at the end of the day, I go home and I pop Percocets. And that's how the day ends. You know what I mean? And now it's just weed.
Yeah. So, you know, it's replacement therapy. And that's what it's one thing that, I mean, I'm not a doctor, obviously, and I don't try to purport to give medical stuff, but
Brett's a doctor, actually.
Brett's a doctor.
I've read as much as a doctor has.
Yes.
You just avoid all the student loans. Oh,
yeah, he's smart. That is the smart thing he did. There's only one person on here that's not $60,000 in debt, Steph.
Oh, 60,000. Oh, you privileged son of a bitch. You're only 60 grand in debt.
Well, I quit after I got my bachelor's to do a podcast.
That was a good decision.
I think so.
Grad school would have been a terrible idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. People tell me what they're – I mean, I started looking at what my debt was going to be if I went back to school to become a teacher. And I was like, you know, a more desirable thing would be if this podcast works out.
I mean, I can't believe the amount of debt that I'm in when it's something – I got really radicalized in law school. That place broke my brain because I had I did a lot of reading, but mainly a lot, you know, college was so it was a expensive social activity. Law school, I broke my brain. And when you realize exactly how much debt you're going into, while at the same time the government will do something crazy like drop a bomb that is worth, you know, millions of dollars for no reason. They'll just do that and they'll brag about it. And then they'll say in the same week that they're cutting back assistance for student loans. It's maddening because it's like, what do you expect me to fucking do? How am I going to pay back that amount of money in my life for no reason other than I have an education to get a better job? That's insane.
We have a lot of lawyers that like the show. We're big with lawyers, librarians, and teachers, actually. It's like a really top, like people that are parts of the system, they're just inside of it, like seething with anger that it's like so cruel and stupid.
It's all people that are around people like us, too. Like it just, they gather lawyers, teachers. Yeah, lawyers and teachers are just people that are around people like Brett and I all the time, children and criminals.
I love criminals, by the way.
Same here, man.
My criminal clients are my favorite people. They pay on time. They listen to you. I had my first felony arraignment the other week, which was terrifying, and I didn't know because I didn't know I was doing a felony arraignment. I walked in and the Mark was like, "All right, it's a misdemeanor arraignment," which by the way, I can do in my sleep now. There's a script. I read it off of my phone half the time and I get the new date and I turn around and I thought that's what I was going to do today. I show up and they're like, no, this crusty old public defender is like, no, this is a felony. Where's your client? And I panic because you can do an arraignment for a misdemeanor without your client, not a felony. Felony is where they might lock a client up. And this guy was this client. Luckily, he was in town and he was able to show up, but he's had prior run-ins with the law. And I had not done this particular type of arraignment before. Luckily he had, so he was shouting, you know, the script essentially over my shoulder to the judge when I was like, because that's all it is, it's all about magic words, and I had never done them. I didn't know the magic words for the felony, for the way to do a felony, and so, but he did, and he covered me.
I went to court to pay a ticket, a stupid ass $160 ticket I got. I just can't get over that. But I went to court to pay it, and there was a guy that was there that everybody knew because he got busted over and over and over again for driving without a license. Like they took his license and then he would leave, and of course he's just gonna drive. You know, that's just the way it is. They trap people in that so much. But like, I was so charmed. Yeah. And I was so charmed that like the judge came in and she was like, oh, man, here you are again. And it's a big, I mean, that's not a small court. That's in Columbus, the capital of the state.
Hey there.
This was happening at the OJ courthouse. That's the other cool thing about I'm a recent person to Los Angeles. I moved here in 2010, or, you know, I live in Long Beach, which is in LA County, but I go to I practice in LA courts and Orange County courts most of the time. And, I went to the OJ courthouse for the first time, 2 weeks ago. And they actually have like a big poster of the knife and the glove as you walk in, which I'm like, that's some weird shit. You don't walk into like Boston Garden and they have, you know, Magic Johnson hitting the hook shot right when you walk in. I mean, it's like, that's when the everything shitty and bad you know, and what everybody associates as a giant fuck up.
It's Hollyweird. Right, it's Hollyweird. They're gonna be. They're gonna get dramatic about it.
That is fucking crazy. That's like going into like a Chicago courthouse and them having like a Tommy gun hanging there from Al Capone. Or do they have that? Do they hang trophies up? Like
they do sometimes. It's weird. Like civic architecture is some weird shit because it's always different. Yeah,
you're totally right about the. Dude, in the OJ, that's not a triumph of our court system at all.
Oh, I was cheering. I was watching that. So here's the funny thing about LA, too. Nobody wants to talk about that. So my wife and I watched both the documentary and the Netflix special. And, you know, we were like, oh, that's really interesting. So let's talk to our Angelino friends about this. And everybody, regardless of class, race, or anything, just shakes their head. And they're like, no, that was a bad time. Anything else? Well, I'd rather talk about the Holocaust. You know, it's...
Yeah, that movie, that FX series that they did, The People versus O.J. Simpson, it really did like make L.A. seem pretty – like L.A. was pretty intense during that whole trial. And
It was the riots. So yeah. Everybody – you know, the O.J. chapter was kind of – it seems to – and this is from when I talked to other people from who lived through it. They're like – The LA riots were really the big deal because it was just I heard it today in the board meeting. They called it the civil unrest. You know, it was really LA was really emblematic of the worst elements of American society and racism because we had the police were cordoning off parts of the poor areas to keep, you know, to basically just kind of restrain the violence. And this is before the riots. You know, this was. So when it was like a rebellion against the entire LAPD, LA establishment over the course of a couple of days, I mean, they really could have lost control of the city. So it was a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. Well, thank you for doing 420 with us, Stefan.
Thank you guys so much. And I appreciate any time I can be able to spend. And hopefully soon Ohio will be liberalizing your laws in case you can be out of office.
We'll get you back on here and we'll talk about, we'll let you know what our laws are like here. Brett and I are going to probably be weed lawyers without, like, I think it's an attorney. Is an attorney the one that doesn't have a license?
No, that's a notario. Here's what you're going to get into. If you want to make a decent amount of money, be the first guys to do branded good edibles, anything with manufacturing.
We can do that.
Yeah, I'm totally into that. Yeah, Brian actually used to make these really good monster cookies is what they were called. And they were like a mishmash of all the cookies. They had like sugar cookie and oatmeal and chocolate chip and M&Ms and peanut butter. It was like everything, but they got you so twisted. That's when we used to be able to get trimmings from a guy we knew that grew.
There you go.
But yeah, I think that's what we'll go with then. That's a good idea. We're going to have a Snapchat for our Street Fight Edibles.
We'll be the Edibros. We'll be the Street Fight Edibros. Put that in the document, Brett. Later on, put that on our business agenda.
I'm clicking it in right now.
We're going to open up the House of Dank.
Yes,
in good, Columbus. Yeah. We're going to use your client's logo. Because it already has an established brand. There's one there. There's one in Michigan.
Right.
We don't it's have a chain. To do much work.
It's a chain, basically. People are like, this is quality. The marijuana is good as here as it is in California.
The House of Dank, baby. That's a name you can trust. It's actually a name you can't trust at all. True.
It's the shiestiest name in the weed game right now.
There, the greatest dispensary of all time was this little one in Long Beach. My buddy Art, when he lived here, frequented it. It was called All City Party Supplies, and it was called that because before it was an illegal dispensary, it was a party supply store. And so they didn't change a goddamn thing about it. They just kept all the quinceanera stuff up front. They kept the big sign with the clown on it and everything. And they sold weed with that.
That's so great. Yeah, you wrote that. You wrote about that in the zine, actually. Yeah, you mentioned that briefly.
Buy that damn zine, people. Buy the zine.
Sam's story in that was so sad, but I was so happy that he successfully sued, or he successfully wrote a demand letter to
Nobody in the world does that, Stefan, except for Sam Knight 1 from Twitter.
He was very upset to find out that his magical his magical serum didn't prevent him from passing a drug test or failing.
The only way you can do that is by stopping and drinking a lot of water, and over the course of like a couple of days at minimum, working out a lot so you sweat, and maybe you have a chance of passing.
You could buy some fake pee from the internet. I have some that we're going to sell, that we're going to give to somebody, a listener. Maybe on Thursday. Hey, on Thursday, we might be handing out some fake pee.
Yeah, if you're in the audience and you have a drug test coming up, we have some synthetic urea that we'll be handing out
on tonight's live show in Columbus, Ohio.
Exactly. So get there quick.
That's amazing. Well done. Thank you again for having me.
Yeah, it's great as always. Thank you for tuning in to Street Fight Radio, you beautiful listener, you.
You're the best, Stefan, too. Thank you for doing the show again. Really, seriously, we love you.
If you like what we do, find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're Street Fight WCRS and all those locations. So tell people about our wonderful guests that we have on and the amazing shows we do each week, and we will keep doing them. And more than anything, Patreon is what keeps this ball rolling. That way we're not telling you to buy Blue Apron or MeUndies or Squarespace websites. We just have people support what we do over on patreon.com/streetfightradio, where you can sign up for a monthly subscription to get either some Kratom or some zines in the mail. Stefan, actually, have you done Kratom?
I have. So I forgot. Here's a funny story about Kratom. I left it in my – I got it in a gift bag. And
man, I need to get your gig. I need to get in your world, man, where you're just getting client weed and gift bags with Kratom in it. Jesus.
Well, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was some bullshit herbal supplement crap. So I just threw it in my fridge for like 3 months. And then you guys were talking about it. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll try it one of these days. And then it was going to get banned. The day they announced they were going to ban it, I was at a smoke store buying a PAX. And I noticed that they were selling the exact same herb there. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And it was Kratom. So I tried it, and it does no effect.
You're like only weed. You're like the guy that only weed can affect. You're impervious to all drugs.
No,
a lot of it. It'll get – trust me, you take enough Kratom, you're going to throw up. You're going to get something out of it. Makes you feel like dog shit.
See, I don't want to – I don't want to get it.
Right, it feels good though. It's like coffee, really. If you hit it just right, man, it speeds you up, man. It gets you moving. It puts your brain in like this weird fucking I can do anything mode. It's great. It's good stuff.
I have sativa. I have Inland Empire grown Skywalker, which is
I've seen your stash. You sent me your stash on Snapchat. You have like the entire. You have the whole line of weed that's out. You have all of the feelings you can get from weed.
I gotta get on Snapchat, man. Listeners, I might get on Snapchat soon.
Yeah, you gotta see this weed that he has. It's amazing.
I just want to see Stefan's weed.
He dogged our Ohio shit, but then when he sent me pictures of his, I did feel salty. I couldn't even say anything back.
See, I'm a California supremacist. I really, I moved here, and I'm like, I'm never moving away, and everything about this place is perfect. And
love it.
But
when I moved to Dallas, I had a Cowboys hat. As soon as I moved to D.C. out of Texas, all right, I had a Nationals hat, so I'm with you all the way.
Yeah, my kid said she doesn't want to move to California because she thinks it's basic, but she was just being mean to the West Coast that day. She really likes where she is, and she's anytime I say, you know, it would be cool to live in California, she's like, it's bullshit. That's not where my friends are.
Friends are fine, but we've got beaches and bike paths here.
So all the celebs.
Apparently. I've run into C-list Mad TV people, and that's it. My wife ran into
I want to know who.
Mad TV.
I forgot it. But my wife ran into Will Smith, who apparently is shorter than you would think.
That's cool with me, man. I would love to stand tall above Will Smith.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be great to look down on Will Smith.
I'd get a picture of me looking down on Will Smith if I could get that. Just for my mother-in-law loves Will Smith. Could destroy her feelings about
him. We did get invited to now I have to tell this story. We did get invited to John Legend's house and watched a private concert with Stevie Wonder. And I got to say, John Legend's wife is like the coolest person in
the world. Oh yeah, Chrissy Teigen. She's awesome.
She listens to Chapo. You got to get her listening to Street Fight. Really?
Oh, she was hanging out the entire reason my wife and I were there is because my wife was working for a company that John Legend was doing business with, and so he invited the entire administrative staff from this company over. So these are all people making like $40,000 a year, all freaking out because they're hanging at John Legend's house. And Chrissy Teigen the entire time, instead of talking to the other celebrities who were there, was talking to all the administrative staff and showing them where she hides all of her chocolate and shit. It was awesome.
That is cool. I would love to go hang out with John Legend and Chrissy Teigen.
We're going
to
do that. For one day for our fans, we're going to make $1 million. Then all of you that make $40,000, we're going to pretend like we care about you a little bit just to make you feel good.
We'll bring you to the house because we'll never stop recording in this basement, I don't think.
That's true. This is the new studio forever.
Yeah, we're going to buy this building and keep this basement studio.
No, that does sound really dope. I'm super jelly, actually.
John Legend. That's a guy Trent would love.
I know. I would be. Loves him. Yeah, I would be in tears.
Well, it was when Stevie Wonder got pulled out, you know, come stumbling out to go play the concert in the back. I'm like, oh, okay, this is incredible. This is hilarious. This is why I moved to this crazy state and pay $1 billion in rent every week.
La La Land.
Yeah, I want to go there. We're going to be there, Steph. And one of my life goals now is to perform for you, for real. Like,
thank you.
I want to get to California to perform in front of you. Like, I would never have any interest in L.A.
Long Beach is more your speed. So here's the thing. L.A. has its amazing pocket. I still have to hang out with Mexi Anarchist. That's my goal for this month.
Yeah, he's hanging out with that
dude. Because he's in the last ungentrified part of L.A. You know, East L.A. still is not, you know, it's starting to creep in, but most of
we're going to make it happen.
And
we'll make it happen. And I mean, as long as we get some more money on that Patreon to fly out there, we have shows planned. I know a lot of people want us to be out there. I'm sending all kinds of packages out to California, so we should get there at some point.
Yeah.
Fifth Amendment, Brett. Fifth Amendment.
Exactly.
All right, Stefan, thank you for doing the show.
We are Street Fight. Peace.
Time again, I gotta turn that round and tell these hoes that I am the H and I see bitch, that's just the way it goes. I be on that shit that I had you on that I don't want no more. At this time, I need all my freak hoes to get down on the floor. If you came to rep your set, right, that nigga, let them know. If it's jail, I get for stomping and hitting the sleep, fuck it, I go. Freak, I be out in the week. Straight geeks working down your street in the stolen Bonneville with 23s on the feet. The legend Rocky D. Brown, back in time to beat it down. Give me face, I love the sound. Slap the taste, they hit the ground. Back in the A, click the pick up with some P.I.s that don't play. On that kryptonite, we stay so high, we might fly away. I be on that kryptonite, straight up on that kryptonite. I be on that, straight up on that, I be on that kryptonite. I be on that kryptonite, straight up on that kryptonite. I be on that, straight up on that, I be on that kryptonite. I be on it all night, man, I be on it all day. Straight up pimp, if you want me, you can find me in the A. I'm on it, 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 time and time again, I gotta tell these niggas any hoe. I'm from College Park. Move that weed and we slain that blow. Get dope on a daily basis. Get high, make them ugly faces. Fuck a draw and I'm on probation. My blunt and I don't be lacing. I'm on that kryptonite. Come to my kryptonite. Let me beat that puss all night. Run, tell your buddies how fuck you ride. Tell them about all the blacks on the wall. Tell them how you lick my ball. Tell them how concrete run the street. Big boy, he put us on. Chevy Rider, slanging powder. Simpson roll through Dixie Hills. Diamond pressed against that wood candy paint. Spinning wheels, grind time, rap. Gang member, bitches, killer, kill. Purple ribbon, rolling O's, and we all be on that crib. I be on that kryptonite, straight up on that kryptonite. I be on that, straight up on that, I be on that kryptonite. I be on that kryptonite, straight up on that kryptonite. I be on that, straight up on that, I be on that kryptonite. I be on it all night, man, I be on it all day. Straight up pimp, if you want me, you can find me in the A. I'm on it, 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 time and time again, I gotta turn back round and tell
smell T-bone. Grab that cologne out my book bag. I smell drywall on you, home. Suppose the popos get a whiff of the slip that you did smoke. Don't vote, won't trip. Probable cause, call the K9 unit to the side of the road. Let's take a shit. The only thing we riding dirty is the UDKCD. Tackle berry, so may we be on our merry way. Cause you just ain't gonna find no yay play. I got a tough team of attorneys. Make a just lean like a zip and surf tea. They play Dutchie. You can't touch me. Verdict, be not guilty. Search that. Shit, be robbed. Slanging powder. Simpson rolled through Dixie Hills. Diamond pressed against that wood. Candy paint. Spinning wheels. Grind time. Rap gang member. Bitches. Killer kill. Purple ribbon. Rolling O's. And we all be on that crib.
I be on that crib tonight. Straight up on that crib tonight. I be on that. Straight up on that. I be on that crib tonight. I be on that crib tonight. Straight up on that crib tonight. I be on that. Straight up on that. I be on that crib tonight.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the air.
I'm on it, 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 I'm on it.
Boy, stop. Yeah.
Body rock. I make your body rock. In the street, hit the stage.